بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We continue the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin and we have reached hadith number 8 and this is class number 11 on this night, the night of Wednesday the 28th of Jamada al-Akhirah, corresponding to the 3rd of August, the night of the 3rd of August 2005. The hadith, وعن أبي موسى عبد الله بن قيس الأشعري وعن أبي موسى عبد الله بن قيس الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الرجل يقاتل شجاعة ويقاتل حمية ويقاتل رياء أي ذلك في سبيل الله؟ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قاتل لتكون كلمة الله هي العليا فهو في سبيل الله. متفق عليه. In this agreed upon hadith, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, may Allah be pleased with him, and his name is Abu Musa Abdullah bin Qais al-Ash'ari, reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about who fights in the battlefield out of valor or out of zeal or out of hypocrisy, which of this is considered fighting in the cause of Allah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded in a concise way. He said he concise and comprehensive. He who fights in order that the word of Allah remains the supreme is considered as fighting in the cause of Allah. In another wording of the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَيُقَاتِلُ لِيَرَى مَكَانَهُ, and he fights in order to show off. أَيُّ ذَلِكَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, which of this is considered as fighting in the cause of Allah? Then he responded, he who fights in order that the word of Allah remains prevailing is considered as fighting in the cause of Allah. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about these three descriptions of people or qualities that some possess when it comes to the matter of fighting. One is valor, bravery, and the other is zeal, and the third is hypocrisy, to show off. As to the one who fights out of valor, meaning that he is a brave man, loves to fight, and fighting requires a battleground, a place to manifest this bravery. So you find the one who fights out of valor loves that Allah makes it easy for him to conduct a fight and make his bravery known. So he fights because he is brave, loving to fight. This is one case. The second is يُقَاتِلُ حَمِيَّةً, he fights out of zeal, zeal for nationalism, zeal for tribal honor or for his country, nationalistically. All of this is considered out of zeal. The third, hypocrisy, showing off so that people come to know that he is a brave person. So the Prophet ﷺ turned away from all these cases: failure, zeal, and hypocrisy, and show off, and he gave a concise and comprehensive answer. من قاتل لتكون كلمة الله هي العليا فهو في سبيل الله. The one who fights so that the word of Allah remains prevailing and supreme is considered as fighting in the cause of Allah. And this is general and comprehensive, because a person may fight in order to take control of countries, may fight in order to win in the battlefield and a woman as a captive, and intentions are limitless. But the criteria and the scale which the Prophet ﷺ had set is all just. And therefore one knows the errors committed by people, those who fight for nationalistic goals. And this is a jahiliyyah type of fight. Fighting, for example, for pan-Arabanism, nationalistic goals. This is like the fight for or the fights that took place before Islam. Anyone who is killed in this fight is not considered a martyr, is not considered a shaheed. So he lost this life and the next one, because this is not for the sake of Allah. Fighting for nationalism is a jahiliya fight of no avail to man. And so, despite the propaganda for Arab nationalism, we didn't benefit anything from that. The Jews took over the land, and many from the kuffar entered under this banner of pan-Arabanism and nationalism from the kuffar of the Christians and the other than the Christians. And this excluded Muslims who were not Arabs or who are not Arabs. So we lost millions because of this banner of pan-Arabanism. And people entered under this banner of no good. The second mistake: those who fight for their countries, for the watan, for the homeland. We say, if we fight for that, then there is no difference between our fighting and the fighting of the kafirs for their lands. The kafir fights for his land and defends it. And the one who is killed fighting solely to defend his land is not a martyr. But what is the obligation? The obligation is, since we are Muslims and in an Islamic land, we ask Allah to give us steadfastness on that. The obligation is an nuqatil, that we fight min ajli al-islami fi biladina, for the sake of Islam in our lands. And then be careful to the difference, as to the difference. We fight for the cause of Islam in our lands, so we protect al-Islam which is in our lands, and we protect Islam whether it is in the East or in the West, not because for our homeland alone. So this must be corrected. So it is to be said, we fight for the cause of Islam in our lands, or it is correct to say, we fight for our land because it is Islamic. We defend the Islam therein. as to mere nationalism. This is a false intention of no avail to man. And there is no difference between the person who says he is a Muslim and the person who says he is a kafir if the fight is for the homeland. And the saying that love of one's country is from faith, and that this is a hadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is a lie. This is not a hadith. حب الوطن من الإيمان. The love of the country, if it is because it is an Islamic country, then this is to be loved because it is Islamic. And there is no difference between your country, which is your home country, in which you were born, or a faraway country from the countries of Islam, because they are considered homelands of Islam that needs to be protected. So therefore, we must know that the correct intention, and remember, we still under the chapter of sincere intentions, that the correct intention is to fight to defend the Islam in your country, or defending the country because it is an Islamic country, not just because of mere nationalism. As to the fighting of defense, meaning if someone transgresses against your home, wants to take your wealth and property, or attack your honor, the honor of your family, for example, then you fight him. Since this is the command of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked about the man who comes to another man and tells him, give me your wealth, he told him, don't give him. The man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ قَاتَلَنِي, what about if he fights me for it? The Prophet ﷺ said, قَاتِلْهُ, fight back. The man said, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ قَتَلَنِي, what about if he kills me? The Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَنْتَ شَهِيد, then you are a martyr. Then the man said, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ قَتَلْتُهُ, what about if I kill him? The Prophet ﷺ said, then he is in hellfire. And this hadith is reported in Muslim. Because he is a transgressor, even if he is a Muslim. If a Muslim comes to fight you, to drive you away from your country or from your home, then fight him. If you kill him, then he is in hell. And if he kills you, then you are a martyr. And don't say, how could I fight a Muslim? We say he is a transgressor. And if we withhold from deterring the transgressors who care less for the faith of the believers and for their deen, then they will have the prevalence and the authority, and they will spread mischief in the lands. So we say that this case is not like the case of going seeking fight. No, to go and seek the fight is something different. In this case, I'm not going seeking him to fight, but I am defending myself, my honor, my wealth and my family. Even though the transgressor is a believer, even though the transgressor is a believer, yet it is something that a person with correct faith would not come to fight another believer to take over his property and etc. And that's why the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said in the authentic hadith reported in Bukhari and Muslim, سباب المسلم فسوق وقتاله كفر. سباب المسلم فسوق وقتاله كفر. Abusing a Muslim is an evil doing, فسوق, and killing him is kufr, is disbelief. There is no perfect faith for a person who fights the Muslim. And if this person has no faith or diminished faith, then it is incumbent to fight him to defend the self. This is an obligation, because the Prophet ﷺ told the man, قاتله, fight him. And he told him, if you kill him, then he is in hellfire, and if he kills you, then you are a martyr. And in conclusion, therefore, there are two fights: going, seeking a fight. You go to fight the people in their lands, meaning the Muslims in their lands. This is not permissible except with specific conditions. For example, the ulama, may Allah's mercy be upon them, said, the scholars said, rahimahumullah, if a people of a town abandon the adhan, abandon the call of adhan, then it is incumbent upon the Muslim leader to fight them until they raise the adhan and they raise the call for adhan, because they had abandoned a symbol of Islam. And if they abandon Salat al-Eid, the Salah of the Eid, and they say, we are not going to pray it except in our homes, not in the open, then it is incumbent to fight them. Even if some people may say that, well, adhan is not from the pillars of Islam, we say no, even though, but it is from the symbols of Islam, so we fight you until you raise the call of adhan. And if two groups of the believers fight, for example, two tribes fight out of zeal, then it is incumbent to reconcile them. And if a group of them, if one of them transgresses against the other, then it is incumbent to fight this tribe or this group until it submits to the command of Allah. It can be fought, even though it may be a believing group. There is difference between the fight of defense and the going for fight.